to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning. Sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations. And then I get to personally host you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW. And it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show. You and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org. And by the way, you don't have to know when you can come to New York, where Democracy Now! Is based. Just make that call or go online at WPFW.org, make the pledge, and then we'll get in touch with you and work out the details. Maybe you're coming to New York soon or it won't be for a year. This doesn't expire because we don't want WPFW to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Okay, turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty 10 years.
What? Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now, here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning and welcome to Crossroads here on WPFW 89.3 FM. Your station for jazz and justice, WPFW, is heard around the world. So if you're anywhere on the globe and you want to tune in, if you got an iPhone, you can just punch in WPFW 89.3 FM and you can hear Crossroads anywhere on the globe. I want to thank you for tuning in, and we have an interesting show with a good friend of mine, somebody I watched raise up. I mean, I thought he was raising me, but we'll get into that. We'll always open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Oh! Hey, journalists, how to report on deaths in jails and prisons. When you get a tip about a death or multiple deaths in your local jail or prison, there are concrete steps you can take to start investigating. Deaths that occur either when a person is in custody under law enforcement or housed in a correction facility are largely underreported. That's because reporting requirements are not enforced federally or in most states. Without accurate data, circumstances leading to unnatural deaths can continue unchecked, including instances of medical negligence and excessive use of force. Many researchers, lawmakers, and advocates view this issue as a public health emergency. When a person dies in custody, getting records isn't always easy, but there are many documents you can request from agencies inside and outside of the system. And here we go. A Cuban has been deported to Eswatini, which is formerly in Swaziland. He goes on a hunger strike. A Cuban man deported by the Trump administration to the southern African country of Eswatini, which was formerly called Swaziland, is starting a hunger strike against his detention there. Roberto Del Pereira was among five third country nationals deported from the U.S. to Swaziland in July. They had been held in a maximum security prison along with 10 others deported in October. U.S. officials have said the men deported to Swaziland are convicted criminals. Their lawyers say all of them had finished serving their sentences in the U.S. and that there was no legal basis to imprison them again. A spokesman for the Swanee Correctional Services Department had no immediate comment but said he would review the situation. Many of the countries that have agreed to such deportation deals are in Latin America and Africa. The U.S. has sent hundreds of Venezuelans to a notorious prison in El Salvador. El Salvador. Venezuelans and immigrants from Afghanistan, Russia, Iran, China, and even Ireland and other countries has also been sent to Costa Rica and Panama. Ooh. Trump's immigration policy state is growing at warp speed. And now more local cops than ever before are signing up to work with ICE. When it passed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act in June, Congress handed nearly $75 billion to immigration and customs enforcement. Some $30 billion of that money will be spent on enforcement and deportation, hiring sprees incoming, and another $45 billion will go towards new detention centers, including 50 by this year. We got 90 days, and they're going to build 50 more detention centers between now and Christmas. Supercharged President Donald Trump's mass deportation campaign, which already had been terrorizing immigrant communities and sending asylum seekers to hellish prisons in El Salvador. But an important part of the detention state ramp-up has flown under the radar. ICE increased cooperation with local law enforcement agencies. And would you believe that the FBI's budget is $59 billion. ICE's budget is $75 billion. They're bigger than the FBI and the CIA. And they're talking about building 50 new prisons or jails before the year's out. So this is the situation we're dealing with. More African nations are receiving third country immigrants deported by the U.S. The West African nation of Ghana is the latest in a growing list of African countries that have received third-party nationals deported by the U.S., or agreed to receive them, a controversial approach whose legality lawyers for the deportees have questioned. Other African nations that have received such deportees from the U.S. include Eswatini, Rwanda, South Sudan. Uganda has agreed to a deal with the U.S. to take certain deported immigrants, although it is yet to receive any. Experts have said some African countries may seek to facilitate the deportation programs in order to earn goodwill in negotiations with the Trump administration on policies such as trade, migration, and aid. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. Now, this is our two-hour show. The first Tuesday month, we come to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. We're at 1001 H Street. H is in Henry. And joining us this morning is our very special guest. He's one of the owners of Ben's Chili Bowl, who's written a book, and the gentleman has been phenomenal all over the city. Ben Ali is an entrepreneur, community leader, motivational speaker, committed to elevating lives through business, advocacy, and empowerment. As a driving force behind the Ben's Chili Bowl and Ben's Next Door, he has built on his family's legacy while using his platform to uplift others. Good morning, Kamal Ben Ali.
Hey. Good morning, my good brother Roach.
Thank you, man. Thank you for joining.
So happy to be here.
You're happy to be here. We're happy for you let us to be here. We couldn't be here if y'all didn't open the door. Kamal has written a book called The Black Man's Guide to Elevation, Success, and Purpose. And I haven't read the book. I've only skimmed it about 2-3 times. And I saw some things in there that knocked me out of my socks, man. I didn't know that you were a motivational speaker. You speaking the same things that we did with my group called the Inner Voices of Lawton. How you elevate somebody, how you get in touch with your inner voice, how you get your act together, how you take a negative, turn it into a positive.
Yes.
And I've been knowing you since you've been a little teeny kid, and I had no idea this is what you was doing.
I was too busy selling them hot dogs, and I was too busy. I spent 40 years behind that counter selling them half smokes and hot dogs and good chili burgers. And so I've been busy keeping that family business going. But all the time, Roach, of course, you know that we spent time in the community all the time. Mom and Dad taught us to give back. And so I've just sporadically done some speaking and some coaching and some mentoring over the years. We've all served on different boards across the city, helping our community. And of course, Mom and Dad did it from a real grassroots level of being there for each and every customer. I'm talking about the kids who were in the neighborhood, feeding them, as you know, rewarding them with $5 or $10.
That's right.
Good grade they got on their report card, just encouraging them.
Yeah.
As well as the staff. I mean, think of all the hundreds and hundreds of team members we've had going to Howard University or coming from all around the world who worked there eventually, but to work their way through school. And they left there and got and went on to get doctor's degrees and master's degrees and lawyer degrees.
Yes.
And they come back and they thank mom and dad. Say, if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for their encouragement, if it wasn't for that job at Ben Citadel to help them get through school, that they wouldn't be where they are.
There you go. You know, one of the guys I saw a couple of months ago who worked at Ben's for over 30 years, he was a Howard University graduate.
That's right.
Yeah, Tony.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
He worked there for 30
Big Tony.
Years.
Big Tony.
Yeah.
She
worked there for 25 years.
40 years. 40 years. Speeches worked there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've had our team members have been like family to us. And I'm talking about that longevity that they stay just like our customers. When you come to Ben's or when you join the Ben's team, it's like family. It always has been. So that's a big part of it. But, you know, Dad Roach taught what was called Success Motivation Institute. He went down to Waco, Texas in the mid-70s and spent a lot of money to be certified as a motivational coach and speaker for Success Motivation Institute. And so he came back with these briefcases, and the briefcase had a little cassette recorder and 9 tapes in it. And he would drill those into us as kids. I'm like 12, 13 years old. He's playing these tapes over and over and over. All about goal setting and personal growth and motivation and how to live your life. And so, you know, I had a great dad who was really a true mentor to me, as well as, you know, other mentors like, you know, yourself and teachers and whatnot. But a lot of these young men out here in the streets have not had that opportunity.
Yeah,
they have not had the benefit of great role models in their lives, great schooling, you know, and so they don't know.
Yeah.
If you don't know, it ain't your fault.
That's right.
You're operating on the best, you know, that you can do. And so I'm here now with my new journey after 40 years at Ben's to spend my next 10 years doing this. So I've dedicated my next decade to writing this book, Ascend, Black Man's Guide to Elevation, Success, and Purpose, to show them what they're working with. You know, it starts with the premise of their greatness.
It starts
with their God-given greatness. And you telling them, hey, man, God gave you everything you need inside of you to succeed.
Yeah.
He really did. And but sometimes we're so busy running around struggling and hustling, we don't have time to think about it. Well, that's what we do. Seriously. All as us African-American people, we just try to survive out here.
Yeah.
So we're busy working, we're busy grinding, we're busy hustling. And we have it sometimes you got to slow down and take the time to say, you know what? Look at the miracle that this body is. Look at the miracle that this mind is. Look at the miracle that this spirit is.
You know,
and the tree outside and the dog walking down the street.
Yeah.
Everything is a miracle.
Yeah.
I mean, you realize your value, that God gave you a tremendous value at the start. You were born with it. You didn't have to earn it, right?
Yeah.
It don't matter if you dropped out of school. It don't matter what happened to you. You still have that value. And so, but just by encouraging the kids and showing them the value they have and then bringing it out in themselves, letting them know, showing them that they can uplift themselves through learning, through prayer, through meditation. Nobody's coming around to give you the pat on the back. You got to give yourself that pat on the back. And I'm here to explain the process through this book, how they can elevate themselves and have anything they want in this life.
They were
born to have a tremendous impact, but we had to bring it out of them.
You know, as long as I've been knowing you, and I see you almost every week for years, I had no idea that you lit my book and that you were in this. And you surprised me when you talk about your dad and them tapes and motivational tapes. We started a group in Lawton called the Inner Voices. And I did the same thing, not knowing what I was doing. I just got a group of guys together and said, let's put on the play. But in the meantime, we had to deal with our internal issues.
That's right.
You know, how to get in touch with you.
That's
how
right.
to believe in stuff. I had a life sentence and each time I was never coming home. But our group saying, if your thoughts are things, if you believe it and you can see it, you can do it.
There you go.
And what your book, The Ascend, is the Black Man's Guide to Elevation, Success, and Purpose. It's simple. And man, again, you knocked my shoes off. I got to put it back on. It just fell off again.
Well, you know, Roach, what you're talking about are universal truths, right? These universal truths have existed way before you and I were born, right? And so I didn't make them up. You didn't make them up. My dad didn't make them up, and you know, they are just the universal pieces of the world. And so what we're doing is getting in touch with them, but it's how you present them, right? If they sit up there, you know, some people, you can get it from the church, right? Yeah. You can get it from the mosque.
That's right.
You can get it from nature. In lots of places, because they exist everywhere, but how do you like to hear it? So for me, I'm saying, as an older Black man, I want to be able to talk to younger Black men to identify with them. They're the same truth for everybody, but I'm making it intentionality to say, I want to help the younger Black men who's in trouble. Yeah. If we as older Black men don't all band together, all of us, and mentor the younger Black men, they're going to be lost.
You know, one of the things I've been surprised about, man, we've been meeting at Ben's Chili Bowl once a week for the last 18 months or 2 years about community work, time for all to get involved. And man, you've been at every meeting, you've been sharing meeting. You can go downstairs and run the restaurant, then you do your own thing, you're working on the book, so we got Sonya there. I looked at you and I said, man, where you get all that energy from? I mean, I look around and you're doing everything. You ought to be an Olympic or working in our community, because I take my hat off to Kamal, and especially to his mother, Miss Virginia Ali. I call her my mom. My mom passed away, but for the past 65 years, I've barred your mother as my mother. And she is the queen of D.C., and everybody looks up to her and respects her tremendously. And I don't know how or where you found the energy. I know your father, Ben Ali. I didn't know he taught motivational sessions and had y'all in the car and drilling you, giving you this information as little boys. And you internalize all that.
That's
and
right.
You're putting this stuff out. This meeting this morning, we're sitting up to do the show, and I see a young lady that we know, and you know her. Every time I go somewhere, you know them, the people that seen you, and they said, we seen them all. But man, I don't know.
I'm going to say this. We're all operating off of a program, right? Yeah. We all got a supercomputer in our heads, right? And we're operating off of a program. So if we all have the same supercomputer, nobody's is better than yours. Oprah Winfrey's, Michael Jordan's, Elon Musk, nobody's better than your supercomputer. The question is, what's the program that's wrong? Right? What's the program? It's all the different inputs, everything you've taken in. And all these kids out here listen to a lot of negativity, negative music, negative television, negative Trump all day long, Palestine, Israel. No wonder you got depression. No wonder you got anxiety. The housing is messed up. Your living situation is messed up. It's substance abuse in your community. What you got to do is turn off all those negatives and start turning up the positive.
There you go.
Start programming yourself with whatever it is you're interested in. You can learn about it and be an expert in it. And the other thing you talked about, Roto, you asked where I get that energy from. It's that last word on there is purpose. When you're living in your purpose, you always got energy, because that's what you love. When you're living in your purpose. And so God made each of us with a unique gifts and talents and for specific reason. Yeah. And when you say, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And when you discover that, when you discover that you want to empower your people through inner voices, that you want to empower your people through this radio program, you live in your purpose. Yeah. I see you hurting. I see you physically sick or whatever. You come anyway. Mm. You showing up because it's your purpose. And when these young men figure out that they too have a purpose, God made them for a reason. They're not trash. They are here for a reason. Mm. And when they figure out that purpose that they're here for and live it, they're going to have energy every day.
Well, joining us as usual is our distinguished co-host, Miss Nkechi Taifa. She's sitting there on Zoom just smiling with a long braids hanging out. Good morning, Nkechi. How are you feeling?
Good morning, Roach, and good morning, your guest, my dear brother, Kamal. I'm sitting in the car. I'm about to get on the road, so I'm about to go on mute, but I just want to jump in real quick and ask our dear brother, the phenomenal new author, are there any gems of wisdom in A Black Man's Guide for the sisters? I'm just wondering, is there any gems of wisdom that just, you know, we can pick up the book, something we can learn from, or that we can teach our partners or our sons or our loved ones? Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'll say this. First of all, as I said, they're universal principles. They apply to everyone. I'm just using intentionality to say I want to help the young brother, this for the brothers, because I think that as an African-American man, they need to hear it from me. They need to hear it from us. Mm-hmm. So it's just an intentionality. The same principles apply to everybody, quite frankly. And you know, similar to the Million Man March, which was the 30th anniversary. We just celebrated the 30th anniversary of that march. It was done with that same intentionality. It wasn't to exclude the sisters. We know all what the sisters are doing. We know how wonderful they are. But they're actually doing a little better than the brothers. And there are a lot of powerful sisters helping the younger sisters.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason. But they're always welcome. This is for the black men and boys and the women who love them, or the people.
It's all good. I'm loving every minute of it. I'm about to go back on mute till y'all keep on rocking and rolling. And thank you so very much for your contributions.
Thank you. Are you coming back?
We'll see. I'm driving. Okay. Y'all don't do too much well driving, but I'll be listening.
You know, you said something earlier, Kamal, about our youth. And today, or the city council, the D.C. City Council, is looking at extending the curfew for youth from 18 and below because of what happened on Halloween night down at the Wharf. 200-300 kids just went berserk and went wild. And I wanted to check to see how many students are there in public schools. There's 50,000 students in D.C. public schools. 200-300 kids went wild out there on the Wharf. So they're going to impose a curfew against 49,700 kids for what 300 kids might have done. And they, all they just were just being routed. But thing is, there's nothing for them to do. There's no place for them to go. You're going to punish them and tell them they can't come out of the house after a certain time. But you don't provide any alternatives. What we're talking about, your book of sin, and what we're talking about doing with this organ involved is designed to meet them now, since it's reaching. You're motivating people now with your book, with your attitudes, your actions. And every time I turn around, I just have you see me. So we need to reach out to youngsters. And the title of your book is A Sin. We need to have these kids be involved in this. This should be taught in school. This should be a class on telling kids how to ascend, how to come out of the hole that you're already in. If we got 49,700 kids in public school and only 300 were rowdy and mischievous down at the wall, and you're going to pass a law to restrict 49,000 who wasn't even there. They can't come out of the house. This kind of mentality is dealing with our problem. They're not dealing with it rightly. If they talk to you, come on, and read your book, Tyrone Park and other guys who are doing what we're talking about, they won't have the problem they have in the kids. They need some activity. They need something to do.
That's right.
You know, you can tell somebody to stay in the house all day.
That's right. Young men in particular, we know, you know, our young boys and men, we had to be active. You give me 5 minutes and $5, I'll be in. We need to stay busy. We need to stay productively busy,
yeah.
Right? And that means for the young men, sports activities, yeah. Music activities, arts activities, right? They need to stay busy and mental activities, right? Whether it's chess, whatever it is they like. Video games are okay, but you know, they just have to spend, but productive activities where it's growing their skill set. Growing their socialization. So I 100% agree with you, you know, but people are out here targeting our kids. We know that. Mm-hmm. They're targeting us as people. And so they are saying, hey, pass laws to restrict their time to stay in the house. That's ridiculous, right?
Yeah. Where are
they going to go? And not only that, but some of the houses are dysfunctional and overcrowded,
yes,
you know, not fit housing. So you put them in a place that's not even a safe place for them.
Yeah.
They're fighting it out. So you have to have activities. Divert some of those resources to kids' activities. You know, I looked up and said, you know, are the community centers are closed on Sunday? They ain't got but 2 days off, Saturday and Sunday.
Yes,
and the community center's closed on Sunday. So what kind of sense does that make? You know what I'm saying? You know, so where are those? You know, so that's why the kids are great. It's the football and the basketball and the sports are great for some kids, but they need a lot more activities. Back in the day, they used to have go-go's.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, you want to have healthy activities for them. To grow themselves, develop themselves. So, and you know, listen, kids are naturally good kids. I don't believe in bad kids. I don't believe in such a thing as a bad kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if you give him, if he's bored, if he's not appreciated, if he's not, you know, respected, they're going to find that trouble. And so they really do need all the activities. And, you know, I'm so glad you brought up time for us to get involved and, you know, and Kenny and Tyrone and these guys who we've been working together. But there's so many organizations that around town doing stuff, trying to help the kids, trying to bring in resources. But like you, what do you always say, Roach? We got the horses, but not the resources.
You know what I'm saying? Remember that.
So we need, you know, contributions to time for us to get involved in all these organizations. But we need the city to step up and to, you know, be very thoughtful about averting some of the monies that they put elsewhere. Kids are our future. These kids are our future. And we love all of our kids, but we focus on our African American boys and girls, and then and the boys in particular from my end who need the help, because they're getting all the blame.
Yeah,
they're getting the bad rep, and they're good kids. They're not bad kids.
You know, The meet that you have, or we have in every Wednesday at Ben Shillibo with community leaders, if you're talking about the president, the dispatch, the National Guard of Washington, D.C., and several other cities around the country for that plan, we can reduce the crime in D.C. We can make the city safe. If time for us to get involved with Tyrone and Kenneth Moss and all these other gentlemen, all over the city been meeting. If the president sent $300 billion to Ukraine, $20 billion to Argentina, or Venezuela, one of the two, I get it twisted. $20 billion for that. He had a party on trick-or-treat night, Halloween night at the White House called the Gas Party.
Mar-a-Lago.
At Mar-a-Lago. So the problem is, all this money, if we got $20 billion, we can reduce the crime in Washington, D.C. I don't care what you do. We got the horses, but we don't have the resources. Y'all have the resources, Mr. President and folks of power that can make these decisions. Stop hurting our kids. You don't punish 200 kids and make 49,000 suffer because they can't come out the house. You're not dealing with our kids. They're not, the kids are not on no board. They don't participate. They don't make any legislative or executive decisions. We're always inside for them what they ought to do, what not to do. And we don't bring the kids to the table. So we got men and women who did 30, 40, 50 years in prisons all over this country. And all they're doing is what you're doing, Kamal. They get back involved in the community. I'm so impressed with you and the whole Ali family because you're in the community. I remember doing the riots. The police chief had blocked off all the U Street. And the only place that stayed open was Vince Chilligo was doing the riot. And I was working at the TV station then, and we brought the chief on television. And he gave a pass. He told Miss Ali that anybody wanted to come down to the Chilligo, he got a pass. And the police let you through the blockades. And he was building up the streets and putting the subway in. So the reputation and the credibility of Ben Chilligo, Ben's family, Mr. Ben Ali, your mother. I've never seen a family more committed to not only serving the community, but being involved in the community and doing something about it. And we need to do something. As you said before, we need help. We need donations. We need people to contribute. We can make our city safe. If you got $20 billion and you send it to Argentina,
that's right. You know what, Roach? I've gotten to the point where, you know, we're going to lobby for that, and we all agree on that. But it's time for us to get involved and take our city back, take our streets back, take our kids back, take our families back. And that's what we as African-American men have to lead the way.
And we can do it.
Right? And we can do it. But we have to get our priority. I mean, when they had the Million Man March, they talked about atonement. They talked about reconciliation these type of things. We have to take the bull by the horns. That's a chapter in the book. Take control of our lives and show the kids that they can take control of their lives.
That's right.
And so one of the most important things in this is our time. How do we spend our time? Right? We all get the same 24 hours in a day. We all get the same 7 days a week. Right? Yet some people are making $5 million and some people are making $5. Right? So we have to say, well, how do we spend our time? And when I say that, you know, when I say we're targeted every day, just the marketing alone is targeting us.
Yes.
So when I say that, everything that we do is making somebody else money.
Yes.
So when they're telling you, watch all the football games and the basketball games, guess who makes money? Somebody that looks like us.
That's right.
How about the video games? Who's making money? How about when we buy the Air Jordans and we're commercialized, right? Buy this, buy that, buy this, buy with money we don't got.
Yeah.
And putting the pressure on those kids to buy things with money they don't have.
Yeah.
Right. There's a social pressure. So we have to see who the BS. And we have to say, you know what? Let me instead of watching five football games this weekend, let me reduce one and go spend 2 hours with the team with a young man. Let me go. Because we have our churches. We do have avenues where we can spend time with them, but it has to be very intentional. It has to be all of us. We on the golf course, if we not spend no time with the mentor.
What do you think? Come on. I think in one of the meetings with the time for us to get involved, somebody suggested that with all these churches and schools that are closed at 3 or 5 o'clock, and the kids are left on the corner and they tell them get off the corner, but then there's a big open building, vacant, that you can go in and do programming, motivational kind of things to get the kids in touch with themselves and make sure they can be productive citizens. But all these buildings are closed.
That's right.
All the kids go down to the wharf because that's all the bright lights. Oh, yeah, here's something else. They go down to the wharf and all the bright lights and the fancy restaurants and the doodads, but they can't afford to go in. The prices went sky high, and the kids don't have a job. They work for Marion Barrett Summer Youth Program. That's only for 90 days. You got to check for 90 days. When the 90 days is up, they don't have no way of making no money or generating no income, so they all get together because they're all broke or don't have less money. And kids going to be kids. They're going to have fun. So we need to make sure that we have these facilities that's all over the city that are closed.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. We need to lobby for that. We're building for that. That's absolutely right. And the programming that goes with it. Give them activities. Give them support. But, you know, just the intentionality of showing them. When you see kids walking down the street, instead of being afraid of them because they got on a hoodie, you know what? Say hi to them.
Yeah.
You know, or say, hey, can I buy you lunch? How you doing, young man?
There you go.
I appreciate you.
Yeah,
you're looking good, man. You can do this, man. You got this.
It's really just
that intentionality, encouraging them, loving on them, supporting them, and talking to them. You want to go golfing? Go golf. Yeah. Take one of them with you.
There you go.
Teach them golf.
Go.
You know, there it's you about go. Exposure. They have such limited exposure, so many of them, right? Some of them haven't been out their neighborhoods, much less been out of the city. They don't know what a cow looks like.
That's right.
Right. And when you're living in that myopic, you know, you got blinders on right in front of you. That's all you see is your little neighborhood. So you're protecting your little neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see a bigger picture for yourself.
Yeah.
You see a bigger vision for yourself. So, you know, only we can provide that.
You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM on your radio dial. WPFW is heard around the world. And we're talking to Kamal Ben Ali, one of the owners of Ben's Chili Bowl. He bought his book he wrote called Ascend, A-S-C-E-N-D, The Black Man's Guide to Elevation, Success, and Purpose. We need this, folks, because our kids have our purpose. My wife and I, we walk or go through the streets from time to time, and I see a group of kids. We'll walk over to them. At first, I felt a little intimidated because they put their hand behind their back like they might have had a pistol.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I don't be that. I look them right in there. I go right up to, hey, man, what's happening? And just cut through all that juggy boogie.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So we got to reach out and extend ourselves to our kids. They see us walking down the street and say, we're like enemies. They look at grown black people and they want somebody got to be the icebreaker. You got to break the ice to make
it. And we're the adults.
There you go.
We can't expect them to do it. It's our job.
There you go. So if anybody want to call in to participate in this discussion with Ben Ali, the phone number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We're coming to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl on 10th and H Street, Northeast in Washington, D.C. There are several Ben's Chili Bowls all over the city. So we're coming to you for the first Tuesday of each month. We come to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. And it is a pleasure and honor. We say that a lot. But to have Kamal Ben Ali here with us and your mom, man, I see her every week. I don't know how she do it. I don't know how you do it. Y'all are always on the go. Every time I turn on the TV, Google or Uber, I see Kamal, I see mom, I see Dean, I see y'all all over the city, and you're always giving back. And that's what this is about, giving from myself to make things better for our folks.
And people, there's a chapter in the book on service. Right. We all service. Everything that we do is service to each other. Even your business, even your job, it's a service that you provide.
Yeah.
And I teach the kids some of the business principles in the book. I said, you know, it just so happens that the more service you provide, the more money you make. You know,
that's right.
It's just a life principle.
Yeah.
The more service you provide, the more money you make it. If I have one chili bowl, I make money. But if I serve more customers by having 10 chili bowls, guess what happens?
Yeah.
You just happen to make more money.
There you go.
We're all about providing service and in our own way. So, you know, that's a business principle for the kids. They need to learn financial literacy. They need to learn job skills. But first, they need to learn to heal themselves.
How do we do that? How do we get them in touch with themselves? What's the first step to get the kids involved?
Yes.
In healing themselves.
Well, I think the first chapter of the book is called Let Go, Let God. Right?
Say that again.
Let go, let God. And what it means is, it means that we all have trauma from our past. We all carry with us a history of some negativity, something happened to us. Your daddy said something to your mama, did something to your girl, left you, your dog bit you. Something happened to all of us. And some of these kids have had tremendous amounts of trauma and pain. Some of them have seen violence. That's no child needs this. They've experienced substance abuse, physical, sexual abuse, things that no child needs to see. And so that, so a lot of that pain and hurt and trauma is in them so deep, they can't move forward. Mm. So the first step, the first chapter of the book is let go, let God. As you get older, you have to learn to let that stuff go. Mm. The things that happened yesterday, guess where they at? In the past. Yes. And there's nothing any of us can do about it. Mm. As bad as they were. I'm sorry that you went through that. It's terrible, and you shouldn't have had to go through that. But it happened. It's in the past. So you have to take some actions to let them go. Mm. Some of the actions that I recommend in the book are to recognize. You got to bring them up. You got to recognize. I tell kids, guess what? Write them down. Write down who, what's bothering you. What's on your mind? You angry? Write it down. I'm mad at my mother. I'm mad at my father because he was never here for me. I'm mad at you. You know, whatever you're mad at. Whoever's failed you. And guess who else you're mad at? You're mad at yourself.
Yeah.
So write down the things that you're mad about yourself. You let yourself down in some occasions, right? Write it all down. And then guess what? We're going to say, you know what? I'm tired of carrying this. I'm tired of thinking about this. I'm giving this back to God. Only God's strong enough to deal with all this stuff. Let it go. Let God. After that, you can rip it up, burn it, stomp on it, throw in the trash can. And it's an exercise to do. Yeah. You may have to do that every day for 30 days.
This is Nikichi chiming in again. I love the title of that first chapter, Let Go, Let God. Can you share with us some of the titles of some of the other chapters? I'm already, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. Yeah.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah. But you know, so, you know, I have affirmations after everything. You see, when your words have power, your words have power. And so, you know, we speak truth to ourselves. So if you sell yourself, you're depressed, guess what? You will be depressed.
You
say, I'm gonna have a bad day, man. They out to get me. I'm broke. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I can't, man, this is terrible. I can't live it. Guess what? You have a bad day. If you get up and say, you know what? I'm thankful. I'm grateful. So, you know, you asked about the chapters. The next chapter is called Gratitude is My Attitude.
Gratitude is my attitude.
Gratitude is my attitude.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because once you start on that, once you let that pain go, you go get to gratitude. And when you're grateful, every day you think about what you're grateful for. It could be simple things like you woke up this morning. You got to look at the guy down the street with no arms, no legs on that wheelchair. You know, go to the hospital and go to the burn unit or the cancer ward. Or you find your gratitude.
Yeah.
And when you find that gratitude, all of a sudden your day starts looking a whole lot better. You know, everything is relative. See, everything is in our mind. Everything is in our mind. Our thoughts are things. And as a man thinketh, so is he, right?
Yeah.
So another chapter is called Affirmation Nation. It's about building yourself up. A lot of our boys are running around here with low self-esteem.
There you go.
They may be big. They may have some muscles. They may be able to get a girl. So they may have a little swag, but they still have low self-esteem. Did you see him go and apply for a job that's making more than minimum wage? Why? With white folks? Because they have low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Okay. So Affirmation Nation is about building up yours or your own self-esteem. You can't wait for somebody else to come build it up for you. Yeah. You got to build it up yourself. How do you do that? Affirmations. God made me great. God made me strong. God made me powerful. He made me unique. I count for something. You got to say that to yourself over this. What did daddy do? Repeat them things over and over and over to me.
Yeah.
It's like your mental push-ups. When you're on the football field, you're doing push-ups every day. You're doing sprints every day. You're doing squats every day, right? You got to do your mental push-ups, your spiritual sit-ups every day, affirmations, prayers. You know what I tell the young men? I say, listen, I'm going to introduce you to somebody who will change your life. This is the most important person in your life. And I take him right to the mirror.
Yeah.
Look at that mirror. You see that cat right there? That's a bad man. He's going to change your life.
No,
now, look him dead in the eyeballs. And every day, go to that mirror.
He's the only one wearing the eyeballs. Can't nobody do it but him.
Can't nobody do it but him. But you got to look yourself in the eyeballs to respect yourself.
Yeah.
And say, look, hey, how are we living today, brother? How are we living today, man? What are we doing today? We living right? We making this money today? We getting these grades today?
Yeah.
Or we going to go out and act a fool?
There you go.
Look yourself in the eye. Be accountable to yourself. Yeah. Love yourself. You got to love yourself first. So this book is about you, and yourself and God. First and foremost, forget everybody else. Forget your parents, forget your friends, forget everybody else. It's about you and seeing your value in yourself that God gave you and seeing yourself as a king, using that visualization, using those affirmations, using your words, how you see yourself and how you speak to yourself first.
Have you been going to any schools? Have any education departments reached out to you to come in and bring your program?
So, you know, we really just launched the book, but I, you know, last year as part of, you know, along with Brother D, Darrell Muhammad, and Christ Management, you know, we went to speak at Anacostia, we went to speak at Baloo, we went to speak at Dunbar, you know, with time for us to get involved. We're doing lots of things and events in community, 100 Fathers with Frank Malone. A lot of these groups are doing good things.
Yes.
They're working on fatherhood principles, you know, but we can't do enough and we need everybody to get involved. We need this to be a black man, black man's movement.
We got a couple of calls, and we take our first call. Hello, you're on the air with Kamal Ali. You're on the air.
Hello, Roach Brown.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm struggling to stay alive, brother. Struggling to breathe. Struggling to eat the food they give me, and I'm thankful for it. I just want
Germany?
To say to...
Where are you calling from?
I just
Rick?
Want to say, where am I calling from?
Yes,
I'm calling from 15 minutes outside of Munich, Germany.
Okay. I wanted you to say that because a lot of folks have been asking, is Rick a part of the show? But if you call in on a regular basis from Germany, they want folks to realize that the show is global and we got people on the international scene calling in. And I want to thank you, Rick. You've been in our prayers, man. When you said what you said last week, we've been praying for you. We reached out and tried to start a prayer circle to get everybody to pray for your health, man. So come on. What is it you want to share, Rick?
First of all, I want to say thank you to the brother, Kamal, is it?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I remember being a part of a group home off of 16th and T Street, and from there, I started frequenting the Lincoln Theater, 77, 78, 79. You know, I saw quite a few movies there, and we would always stop in to Ben's Chili Bowl and get a hot dog with onions and ketchup. And even though I don't promote that type of eating today, Ben's Chili Bowl was a salvation. Your mother was an inspiration to come out of the 50s and to stay on that street to fight to keep that shop open. I also want to say that if it had not been for women in nursing, women among the Seventh-day Adventists, soldiers coming off of Bowling Field. If it had not been for them, my life would have gone completely down the toilet. So I thank God for those adults who took the time and, I mean, they put aside their life to get involved in my life. And not just conversation, but I mean, if I needed clothing, if I needed books for school, I appreciate those folk that came out of the suburbs and came down the southeast to get involved in black young people's lives. Fellas, I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you. And I hope you're getting well, man, because you're still in our prayers. Rick has been having some health challenges. So let's keep Rick in our prayers, people. We'll take our next caller, please. You're on the air. Question or comment? You're on the air. Hello? Question or comment? Okay. We're going to the next one, Mike.
My name is Deja.
Hello, Deja. How you doing?
Hi, Mr. Roach. How are you? And I'm
How
so
you doing?
Glad you... I'm fine. How are you?
Okay, Deja.
I'm glad you have Mr. Kamal on your show. I'm originally from North Carolina, and when I was in the military, I had an uncle who lived here in D.C. And when I got stationed here, the first place he took me to was Ben's Chili Bowl. And I'm going to tell you, I had heard so many negative things about D.C. until my uncle took me down to areas. He called it his heritage trail, and the first one was right there on U Street. So, Mr. Kamal, I just want to just honor your mom and your dad for opening a business there. And it was Miss Virginia just, I mean, she just, it was just the warmest hospitality that I didn't even expect it, and just having a conversation with her about me growing up in North Carolina. And I'm, for what Rick said, he don't promote, hot dogs, but that's a big thing in North Carolina. We love some chili dogs with some onions. Okay. And Miss Virginia threw it on there. Okay. And then at the same time, you know, with, you just don't never know who's going to walk in being Chili Bowl. And that day we was there, Dick Gregory, came in. And it just made my day. I just love D.C. and I have a whole lot of nephews. But I don't know how many books you have, but I have about 24, maybe 30 of them. I done lost count. But this is the kind of walk that I want them to go. So are you going to have a book signing event or anything like that?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to go around to everywhere I can go to where black men gather, whether it's mega churches, whether it's schools, HBCUs, 100 black men groups, wherever they're 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 black men, let's go, let's talk, let's help each other, support each other. So I'm all with it. I'm all in.
Thank you, Daisy, for calling in. We take our next caller.
Wait a minute, before you do, real quick, Kamal, people have talked about the menu. I know you got some vegetarian options as well.
Because
I don't want people not to come to Ben's because they think they can't get what their diet is. So share just a little bit about some of the
Turkey burgers,
options.
Turkey burgers, turkey chili, veggie burgers, veggie chili, turkey and veggie dogs. We got it all down here at Ben's Chili Bowl. So You are in good company, and you are going to be healthy when you leave here. And you know what? Food is not just for the body, but for the spirit. And then just what you all said as well, you coming down here is a safe haven. It's safe for everybody. It's all-inclusive family environment. We're selling our values just like we're selling this food.
There you go.
Okay, and we're about loving our people. So come on, go and get a little bit of all of that. And, you know, we're renovating Ben's Chili Bowl, Roach.
Yes, yes.
We're doing a full renovation of the original store for the first time in 67 years. So we're going to be opening up. I hope the date is December the 10th. We're working on that. But for a grand reopening and with Mama there, and Mama will be 92 years old on December the 17th. So you know what? Despite these hard times, despite this administration, we are still blessed and highly favored. And we're not going to focus on what we don't have. And what we don't can't get, we're going to focus on what we do have. And that's what I tell the young men. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. You have a wonderful brain. You got two arms, two legs. You have 24 hours in a day. And guess what? You know what, Roach? You know, our grandparents didn't have this little thing they called the internet.
Yeah.
They didn't have that. These kids are walking around with the entire educational system in their phone.
Yes.
You don't have to have $100,000 to go to Howard. $500,000 to go to Harvard. You got it right in your phone on this internet. And if you don't have it there, you can go to the library and get free internet on those computers. And you can learn. Every piece of information is there already. You can teach yourself through Google, through YouTube, right? Get involved. Turn yourself on. Once they click, then once these kids turn themselves on and say, oh, I can be a millionaire? You mean I can have anything I want? You ain't going to be able to stop it. You ain't going to be able to stop
it. With the internet, that Google kicked the Yellow Pages out of business. The Yellow Pages, if you needed to find out an address or whatever, you had to go through this big, huge, thick Yellow Pages. You can pick up your iPhone and go to Google and answer the question. And in a matter of seconds, you're having. If you had an iPhone in prison, you can go to college just with a phone. You can take courses and classes. I want to back up and go back to the young lady, Deja, who said, when she came in, her uncle took her to Vince Chilibo. What you get is not on the menu, which is just as important as the hot dogs and hamburger. It's personality. It's hospitality. It's values. It's respect. You feel safe when you come in there. And you get all this on top of the hash smoking hamburger. And these other ingredients pull you out. So this is why we folks ask, why you keep coming to the chili bowl? I grew up in the chili bowl. I remember hot dogs was 2 4 quarter. And I've been coming there for over 65 years. But besides the food, I like the atmosphere, the people, the personality, the vibe, the motivation you get from just walking in. You don't have to talk to nobody walking in the chili bowl. But walk in, walk in the back and come back. And you can feel that something affected you, that impacted you.
That's right.
So we want to make sure that we keep this feeling going.
And every day, and we want to keep it into the next generation.
There you go.
So it's so happy. I'm so happy to see, you know, who showed up over here the other day on 8th Street. And this location right here was I Show Speed.
Yeah.
Now, you may not know who that is, but all the young people know who Speed is.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
He got like 40 million followers around the globe. 20-year-old brother. Right? We had Duke Dennis show up on U Street for Air Jordan giveaway.
Yeah.
So these are what you call the influencers. These are the kids who have a tremendous influence at a very young age. This opportunity that's out here for them, with you, even with AI, using these tools, these kids can rise very high really fast.
Yeah.
So we encourage them to use their skills, use their creativity. God gave you this imagination. God gave you this intuition. God gave you these things that you have to develop from within yourself.
Yeah.
And once you see them and say, wow, I am a mirror,
yeah,
and I can have whatever I want in this life, with good values and serving others.
I think we have another caller on. We have another caller, Mike? Our last caller. Mike. Well, let's take the last call. Hello, you're on the air. Question or comment, please?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's Herb. You know, I'm just trying to be funny, right? I'm from Trinidad, but one day my cousin, I said, hey, we saw you guys on TV and stuff, you know. I said, you know, like, hold on, you know. I know, but he's kind of slow, but that's not really. Well, you know, he's from Trinidad. I said, yes, he's from Trinidad, the whole family. You want a job?
Okay.
All right. We're going to serve you up some doubles.
Thank you. We got a few minutes left. We're coming to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl on 8th Street. There's 6 locations all over the city. But we come to you the first Tuesday of each month. We do a live 2-hour show from the Ben's Chili Bowl. And we got one of the owners, Ben Kamal Ben Ali. You want to give us some closing remarks?
Kamal? You know what? One thing I'm going to close out with Roach, is, you know, stay positive. Stay hopeful, guys. Stay hopeful. There's this thing. They call it faith. And what is faith? Faith is believing in what you can't see, right? What you can't touch. And so just imagine that somebody sat up years ago and said, I think I'm going to invent something called an airplane. And we're going to be able to fly around in the sky. Man, nigga, you crazy.
Yeah.
How about I'm going to invent a computer? I'm going to invent a cell phone. I'm going to invent AI. Listen, these were all things that nobody could see. Nobody believed in. I'm sure they got shut down and they were called every name in the book. So for my young people out here, have faith. Have faith in what you can't see and what you can't touch. God has something bigger for you out here.
There you go. You've been listening to Kamal Ben Ali, owner of Ben's Chili Bowl, in his book called Ascend, The Black Man's Guide to Elevation, Success, and Purpose. And we need this. This should be in the schools. All these youngsters all over the country should be a part of this, because we're talking about exercising your body. You put food in your body. You exercise to keep your body in shape. You need to exercise internally. How do you get all them things, the negativity of things out there? You look in the mirror and you see somebody who you don't even recognize, but that's you. So this book of sin should be in schools. It should be available to put the kids in touch with themselves. That's where the problem is. And I shouldn't say it's the problem. That's where the work needs to be done to bring these kids on front. I want to thank you, Kamal, for joining us this morning, because, man, this is powerful. Thank you, Kamal Ben Ali.
It's been my great pleasure, folks.
What'd you say?
Thank you for all you do.
Well, Merry Christmas to you.
It's getting too close to Christmas. Who has Merry Christmas in dealing too loud? But Merry Christmas.
Thank you. So you've been listening to my good friend Kamal Ali and to Mom We love you. Thank you for letting us do this. And please, you get more than a half smoke in the chili dog when you come to the chili dog. You get it all. You get the inside and the outside, and you learn how to get your life in order. Please come to the chili dog. Stay in touch with us, because this is Crossroads, the only show on radio that deals with people impacted by the criminal justice system. And that means 70 to 80% of the black population is impacted by the criminal justice system. So everybody should listen to Crossroads, not because we own it, because Kamal is on it. And he bought you stuff that I can't even bring you. So thank everybody, and thanks everybody for tuning in. And stay tuned for the next hour, where we'll talk about the food stamp program and the SNAP issue going on all across the country. My name is Roach Brown. Joining me has been Nikisha Taifa, my wife, Martine, and our special guest, Kamal Bin Ali. Thanks, Kamal.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war.
The soul of West Africa lands at Brentwood Arts Exchange's Listening Room on Friday, November 7th at 8 p.m. with Cheikh Amala Jabate, a master of the Ngori, the traditional West African lute. Jabate weaves stories through rhythm and song, blending ancient sounds with a modern spirit that moves both heart and feet. Details at pgparks.com. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Sego, this is John Kane, and I want to invite you to join me right here on WPFW on Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native. I will deliver guests and commentary each week on the real-life issues facing Native people. No romanticizing and no Hollywood stereotypes here. We'll talk real history and culture and life as it is and as it should be. Our shows are available as podcasts on your favorite podcast platforms and as videos on our Let's Talk Native TV YouTube channel. Find links and more at our website, www.letstalknative.com. And I'll see you here Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native with John Kane.
Our problem is that we got too many folk in the middle who are lukewarm. Indifference, the evil's more insidious than evil itself.
That's Cornel West. Speaking on behalf of a mobilization this Wednesday, November 5th, the one-year anniversary of Trump's election. As Trump shreds the rule of law, sends the military into our streets, and terrorizes brown-skinned people, we are facing fascism. This is why on November 5th at 11 a.m. at the National Monument on the National Mall, RefuseFascism.org, Flair, The Handmaid's Army, Now, and many others will declare the Trump fascist regime must go now. This protest and march will kick off a sustained, nonviolent movement that grows from thousands to millions, not stopping until the people's resistance creates such a profound political crisis that Trump is removed from power. Again, the protest is at 11 a.m. Wednesday, November 5th at the National Monument on the National Mall. More information is available at refusefascism.org.
The Capital Area Food Bank is offering free food distribution for federal workers starting now until the government reopens. Federal employees and contractors will need to show a government work ID to receive food. Distribution times and sites are as follows. Tuesdays, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at No Limits Outreach Ministries, 7721 Barlow Road, Hyattsville, Maryland. Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at So What Else, 6116 Executive Boulevard, North Bethesda, Maryland. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at United Community, 7511 Fordston Road, Alexandria, Virginia. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Urban Outreach, 5343 C Street, Southeast, Washington, D.C. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Linda Ben Foundation, 10739 Tucker Street, Beltsville, Maryland. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come.
Hi, this is Robin Holden, the proprietor of Robin's Place,
every Friday evening from 7 until 10 p.m. Robin's Place is a mythical entertainment center consisting of four floors. On each floor of Robin's Place, we have rooms that are named after people who I think are icons in music, theater, and literature. We have the Nancy Wilson Room, the Joe Williams Room, the Gloria Lynn Room, the Frank Sinatra Room, the B.B. King Blues Room, the James Baldwin Library, just to name a few. Join me Friday nights from 7 until 10 p.m. as I take you on a musical journey you'll never forget. Robin's Place.
Come the day you fly, I'm gonna teach you to fly.